What up, Boss Talkers? You're here for episode 8 of The Boss Talk, a Guy Boston sports podcast hosted by me, Evan Singleton, alongside the man, the myth, the legend, Sean Palmer. This episode of The Boss Talk is sponsored by SeatGeek. Head over to SeatGeek, pick up that app, use the code GUYBOSTON, G-U-Y-B-O-S-T-O-N, and you can take $20 off your first purchase on SeatGeek. You can go to a Boston game in the local area, one of the stadiums, or a New England game. And guess what? $20 off. If it's your first purchase with SeatGeek, you can pick up these tickets at a discount. Snap a pic. Keep sending them in. We've got a few of you saying thank you to the Boss Talk boys. And you know what? You are very welcome. But also thank you, too, for supporting the podcast. So let's get to episode 8. Tell me your life's been way offline. You fall into pieces every time. And I don't need no care anymore. Because you had a bad. All right, Sean, how's it going? Don't even bother telling me that you're good. You've said you're good every episode. This isn't a great day, but I'm going to ask you anyways. How you doing, man?
I think the intro music says it all.
You think?
It's been a bad week.
Yeah, it has been a bad week. We are referring to, obviously, I guess we can just say a bad week on top of a terrible weekend, right? We're referring to the Patriots and the Celtics. Celtics lost 2 over the weekend. Their week was not too great either, and the Patriots got annihilated. In the words of Shane Brahman, our Patriots writer on GuyBostonSports.com, they got annihilated by the Titans. So, Sean, why don't you hit us with the fact of the day? But first, we're calling this the Antoine Walker episode. This is episode 8. Sean's idea, and I love it. Antoine Walker out there gambling, playing dice on the street somewhere. But yeah,
pray for Walker. Who knows what he's up to?
Yeah, hopefully he's still alive. But Sean, hit us with the fact of the day.
All right, the fact of the day. Trying to make us feel a little more positive. And bring down Eli Manning. Tom Brady, at the age of 37, he's now 41. He threw for 4,109 passing yards, 33 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. Eli Manning, who's playing Monday Night Football tonight against the San Francisco Giants, everyone's saying he's on his way out.
And he's 37 right now, right?
He's 37 right now. So, at that, he's got 8 touchdowns and 6 interceptions at this point in the season. We're halfway through, so he's on pace for 16 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. So you can see how Tom Brady's on a whole nother level. Yeah. Yes, Eli Manning beat us twice in the Super Bowl, but Tom Brady's better quarterback.
Of course, yeah. We can't talk Super Bowl, but we can definitely just talk career. You know, Eli Manning was, like, good for, honestly, for that run of those few years. And then all of a sudden it's like, but yeah, so Sean, it's a good fact of the day. We gives us, like you said, make us feel a little better, and you definitely did. Although Tom Brady's has some issues now, but let's get into the come on, man. Or we'll do the shirt of the week first, even though it's Celtics related. Shirt of the week. You're gonna get a 20% discount on our Shamrock 5 T-shirt. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go over to our store, search Shamrock 5. It's probably our most eccentric, detailed Celtics design that we've had. Would you agree with that, Sean?
Absolutely. A lot of detail. A lot of hard work in that shirt. Can't wait to see people wearing it.
For sure. Keep sending in the pictures. So use the code TALK, T-A-L-K. You'll get 20% off. This is the only place. Again, these Shirt of the Weeks are very exclusive. The only place you can get that discount is by listening to the podcast. And Sean and I are feeling pretty generous. We're getting close to Thanksgiving. We gave you the Shirt of the Week within, like, what, the first 5 minutes of the podcast. So you're welcome. Head over there. Shamrock 5. It's got all Celtics 5 starters with the Shamrock 5 on a T-shirt. It's in gray, black, or green. Pick it up. It's a I have the shirt, and it's an awesome shirt. So send in a pic when you grab that. The code is TALK, T-A-L-K. So, Sean, let's get into the come on, man. Back to some Patriots here. Come on, man. My come on, man, Evan's come on, man of the week, goes out to Deion Lewis, who absolutely just shit on the Patriots after the win. We have the quote here. I didn't have to prove anything. I know I can play. I just had to let our team know that these guys are beatable. I know those guys. And if you play them physical, they'll fold. So that's one quote. And we thought he was done, right, Sean? Well, these multiple quotes came at different times. Why don't you hit us with the second quote, and then we can just, you know, do some math and just see how big of a dick this guy's being.
So the second one, he got the knife out. He said, "Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your ass kicked." Absolute asshole move, really going at the Patriots for no reason. He didn't really deserve to do that. Yep. Yes, it was a great win. Have the high of the win. say some things, but you don't have to get that personal about it.
Right, and I saw you, Sean. I think it was you. I'm like 99% sure it was you. You said something on Twitter about, hey, like, this team was the one that gave you a chance when you were injured and kind of made you that expensive running back who you are today. Was that not you?
That was me, and I hate tweeting at players, but I had to.
Yeah, so there you go. You know, that's my come on, man, and we'll turn it into this segment about the Patriots. We'll start with Deion Lewis. Just calling, it's like, hey, do a little bit more than beating us in week, what was that, 11 or 10, right? Week 10? Why don't you wait till you make it further in the playoffs or something like that? Because guess what? The Patriots are still having a decent season. Yeah, you kicked their asses. He's right about, you know, you get your asses kicked because you did just get your asses kicked. But guess what? Who's going to make it? Sean, if I had to ask you right now, who's going to make it further this season, the Patriots or the Titans?
It's the Patriots.
Obviously.
Don't even have to think about that.
Exactly.
I think Lewis knows that too, which is probably where the anger's coming from.
Which is why this come on man's going out to him and why we're talking about him now. Because in all honesty, he kind of has the right to say that, if that makes sense. This team didn't pay him. He definitely is a good running back. He's very versatile. But at the same time, it's not like anything was personal. So when he said, hell yeah, it's personal, guess what? It's not personal on the Patriots side of things. It's really not. At all. So the fact that he has to make it personal, that's where he's wrong. He's right that the Titans kicked the Patriots' asses. 34-10. He's right. We can't necessarily deny that. Just then when he adds that together, you know, we're mathematicians. We add these two shitty lines together. And then he says, you play physical with those guys and they'll fold. Pal, the Patriots play in the snow. They play in the cold. Talk about physical. These guys are one of the grittiest teams in the NFL. You played on this squad. What are you talking about, Deion?
And the Patriots probably knew he was worth what he got in Tennessee. And that shouldn't be offensive to him. He should know we have James White. We're probably going to go and draft a running back in the first round, which we did, Sony Michel. It was nothing against him. They were moving on, and they weren't going to pay him.
No.
It was a smart move for both parties.
That's what Belichick does. He doesn't pay the DBs. He doesn't pay the running backs. Deion Lewis, get it through your head. That's the case. It's not that the Patriots didn't think you were worth that. They just weren't going to do that. So let's move on to more of the broader topic of this game. Sean, you put it best here. The Patriots looked awful. What was your takeaway?
Yesterday was probably one of the most uninspiring Patriots games I've seen in a long time. Not one time did a drive look like anything great was going to happen. Josh Gordon, I know he's dealing with some issues with his fingers. He was dropping passes. Tom Brady was missing everybody. The offensive line was absolutely it wasn't there. Tom Brady was getting hit. It seemed like he was giving up on plays before they were over.
Yep.
A guy rushes past the lineman, and he's already putting his head down just waiting for the sack. It was ugly.
Yeah, let me talk about, you said how he gave up on plays. I want to just say one thing, and obviously I'm not trying to shit on Tom Brady or anything, but there was a play where he really chewed out Hogan for not coming back to the ball or something like that towards the end of the half. They caught it on TV and everything, and he chewed him out, and he reamed him for a long time. Like, it didn't stop quickly. Well, guess what? There was plays where Tom Brady would stare down Josh Gordon the entire possession, and then Josh Gordon wouldn't be open. The defensive line would be getting to him, and then he would throw it at, like, James White's feet, and then they pan the camera around, and Chris Hogan's wide open. Literally, no one's touching him. You know what that tells me? That tells me that as great as Tom Brady is, he wasn't scanning the field, going through his proper progressions yesterday. He just wasn't, because this wasn't just an isolated incident. It happened multiple times. Philip Dorsett was open a couple times. James White was open in the flats a couple times. And Chris Hogan was, and he was just targeting Josh Gordon. So I really don't like Tom Brady when he's not having a good game to kind of chew out the receivers. I'm all for when he tries to fire them up. You know what I mean? There's a difference of, hey, I'm doing my job, let's start doing yours. But when Tom Brady's not doing his job, he has no right to ream the rest of the Patriots offense, especially when there's video evidence that he just wasn't doing his job finding the open receivers. And again, I'm not trying to say bad things about Tom. He's going to have bad games. He's human. But that was pretty bad, him just ripping into Hogan for one play, whereas Hogan can easily say, if this wasn't the greatest quarterback of all time, Chris Hogan would have looked at him and said, hey, screw you, pal. I've been open all game. You're not even throwing it to me. The one time you do, I mess up, you're going to chew me out. Obviously, he's not going to say that to Tom, but, you know, that was the case. You know, that's factual, and I just didn't like that. again.
And that's why I suck at Madden. You know, before the play's even going, I pick one wide receiver I'm going to go to. I don't even look at the other side of the screen. And you know what happens? I throw an interception about 80% of the time, or I get sacked because I'm just not paying attention.
Yeah.
Brady is too. He's got to look at the whole field. He's smarter than that. He can do way better than he did yesterday.
I mean, he better be. If Tom Brady is Sean playing Madden, then jeez,
that is the worst comparison.
This Patriots team has some issues. So let's kind of parlay that into our question here. Is Tom Brady declining? Sean, why don't you start?
I know every time someone says that, the Patriots go off and win the Super Bowl. So I think we should definitely say Tom Brady is declining. But there is obviously a drop down in his level of play this year. He's missing a lot of guys. Like you said, he's not scanning the field like he should. I know he doesn't have Gronkowski out there, but he always seems to find a way to make it work. And we're in week 9 now, and I've never seen the Patriots look so bad that far into the season. They've already had their shitty game against Detroit where we thought, okay, they're going to build on this. They're going to get a lot better. And they did. They scored 38 points like 4 or 5 games in a row. Nobody was expecting an absolute meltdown like that happened in Tennessee yesterday. And you can just tell Tom Brady's not explosive as he used to be as far as his arm and his ability to make the right pass. And obviously he's never had the speed. So
right.
People are getting to him quick. And we don't have to talk about that god-awful, the way he looked when he caught that ball yesterday.
Tough.
Was the worst thing. That was like me running on the track and my hamstrings just give up on me and I drop to the floor.
That was tough because, yes, this guy is not an athlete. Everyone knows that, but guess what? He's in the NFL. He should be able to make a little bit better of a play there. But let me answer the question about Tom Brady's decline. One of your first sentences there was actually perfect. You know, there's a drop-off. He's not declining. There's not this consistent decline happening, but there's a little bit of a drop-off. We've seen it from the beginning of the year. He's not looking the same. That's what it is. And expectations for this guy are so high. The listeners can't see it, but my hand's like way over my head right now. They're this high. And I just stretched even more. So they're so high that it's hard for him as he gets older to reach that. He's still one of the best, if not the best in the league. But there is a drop-off. He's just not doing the same things, you know? He's not making the same throws. He's not confident in some of his guys. Like last season, when James White would kind of have a one-on-one, at the end of the play, Tom Brady would just throw it to James White and kind of throw it away from the defender. So he knows it's not going to be a pick, but James White might be able to make a play on it. Now Tom Brady just throws it at the ground. You know, he gives up on plays. And again,
I don't know if you noticed this. People are absolutely seeing the James White screen pass, and they're all over him the second he catches that ball. Like, there is no sneak in that right now.
Yeah. It's right. It's making it tough. And the thing with him is that there's just this drop off and you gotta, so you know how every page and we'll get to a fan or not a fan question, a staff question from Justin Cheapseat, in a second. So what with the thing is no, Tom Brady isn't declining. I mean, he is, but can't help it. You know what I mean? The guy's 41 years old. He can't help but decline, but he's not like at this rapid cliff that he's falling off of. No, but there you're ignorant to think that this is the same type of situation where every year the media gets all over the Patriots and then all of a sudden everything's fine by the end of the year. That's not the case here because guess what? The Patriots are now 7-3. They're through 10 games. That's more than half of their games that they're playing. They're going into a bye, but that's more than half of the games they're playing. It's usually figured out by now. It is. They're usually going to have a couple losses here and there, like this one, but they don't always look this crappy after this long in the season. So I think if you're trying to say the Patriots are completely fine like they have been before, it's a little ignorant because you also got to take into consideration Rob Gronkowski having one of the worst years in recent memory, excluding injuries and stuff, and just in terms of playmaking and Tom Brady even trusting him. Julian Edelman's also kind of old, and he's getting banged up. They said his injury's not serious, but whatever. And their offensive line is terrible. Like, they're just not good. So there's things that the Patriots usually have worked out by now, and that's all I'm saying. I don't think Tom Brady's at this cliff. I know Max Kellerman would probably say that he's done. This is the cliff year. I still think Tom Brady's going to play, but I think the Patriots do need to start kind of looking forward a little bit. I mean, that with all due respect towards Tom. But yeah, so let's, Sean, how about this? I'll let you answer this one because I just went long-winded there. Justin Cheapseat, one of the hosts of the Cheap Seats podcast, Views from the Cheap Seats podcast on GuyBostonSports.com. He says, how confident are you guys feeling about the Pats heading into the bye week? I understand the game yesterday was awful, but it's only one game. So I think that he's leaning more towards the Patriots will be fine, which is, again, a totally fine mindset as long as you understand that it's not, like, fine, like, years present, if that makes sense. So, Sean, what do you think?
This bye week couldn't have came at a better time. Right. Honestly, we would have loved to go in the bye week with a huge win. It wasn't like that 59-0 stomping of the Titans 9 years ago. But this team isn't done. I feel confident we're going to turn it around. Guys are going to come back healthy. Gronkowski, Sonny Michel will hopefully make a bigger impact. He wasn't that big of a factor in yesterday's game, nor was anybody.
Right.
So I honestly don't feel that bad. I had coworkers say something. Well, the Patriots are definitely not going to win the Super Bowl now. Yeah, because yesterday's game was the defining moment that just ended the Patriots season. That's not the case. I don't know where people get this from or they've never watched the Patriots before, but they always find a way to bounce back. So right. I'm not worried about this whatsoever.
And that's exactly the line that I'm treading now. I'm not saying I'm worried about the Patriots. You just have to understand that even with a slight percentage decrease in play, they're still one of the better teams, if not the favorite for the Super Bowl in my mind, you know? Like, yeah, they're not this absolute powerhouse that they have been in the past just because of some of their holes. Like, Tom Brady's still Tom Brady. He's just an older Tom Brady. It's not like he's lost a step or anything. He's just not making every single play perfect. But again, expectations way up here. So I'm kind of with you right there. I'm not worried about this at all. But I do think that it's, I guess, do you agree with this when I say this? Not worried at all, but it's definitely more valid to acknowledge what's happening than it has been in years past. Is that at least fair if I can stand on that hill?
You definitely have to acknowledge what happened yesterday this late into the season.
Right.
We definitely shouldn't give up yet.
I guess that's all I'm saying. I don't want listeners here to take it the wrong way thinking that I'm saying, oh, well, Tom Brady's done. The Patriots stink. Who's our next quarterback? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there is some sort of recognition that should play a factor here. Sean? So, what do you think about the Super Bowl? You know, you mentioned it. What about your way too early Super Bowl prediction?
Right now I'm going Patriots versus Saints in Atlanta, Georgia for the Super Bowl. The Saints are terrifying. They have a lot to make up to their fans after that horrific play against the Minnesota Vikings. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
The Saints are explosive. They just signed Brandon Marshall today. They already have a ridiculous offense. Compared to the Patriots won 10 years ago, they have Michael Thomas, Kamara, Ingram. They have Brandon Marshall now. Ben Watson's useless, but he's there. And the defense doesn't look terrible. And I'm picking the Patriots because I'm biased, and they always find a way to get it done. They're going to turn it up in the postseason. So that's my way too early prediction. Patriots over Saints. Close one. I won't give the score yet.
Sean, let's flash back probably the last, I mean, two Super Bowls ago, Sean predicted the score exactly right. He's also predicted things in the past. So this is good that the Wizard, our guy Boston Sports Wizard, is saying the Patriots are going to make the Super Bowl. Sean, I really like the Saints pick. I think it's down to four teams in the NFL. Saints, now this isn't like a hot take me saying it. I'm just stating a fact that, or at least something that I think is fact. I think it's Saints, Rams, Patriots, Chiefs. Do you think that that's going to be the two conference games?
Patriots, Rams, Saints, Chiefs, those are the four?
That's what I think.
Yeah, as long as the Chiefs don't choke again,
yeah,
I can see that happening. The Rams, they lost,
Cooper Kupp.
I don't remember his name. I think he tore his ACL. Regardless.
He did.
He's
ACL.
He's up this season.
Up for season.
I'm sorry.
Shout out to
I'm
my fantasy
team. Sorry
for
butchering your name.
Shout out to my fantasy team there. Anyways. So, yes, so Cooper Kupp, they lose him. But, again, their offense is just so explosive. I don't know if they necessarily needed him. He's definitely damn good. But, again, so I think it's going to be Rams-Patriots. But I think we're going to see two of the more entertaining, if not the most entertaining, AFC and NFC championship games. I think that the Patriots and the Chiefs, it's going to be a shootout. I think this offense comes to play when that happens. And, you know, same thing on the other side of the ball. That was a really good game between the Saints and the Rams for the, I don't know, what, three quarters of that game? The Saints kind of ran away with it. But I think that we're going to see four teams that just deserve to be in the Super Bowl. This is the first time in a long time that I can think of, you know, a handful of AFC teams that really could make the Super Bowl. So that's pretty awesome. And obviously,
I think the NFL deserves a Drew Brees, Tom Brady Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Two of my favorite quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah, that'd be friggin' awesome. So yeah, we'll hold our, Sean, how about this? Like you said, we'll hold our score predictions until, you know, we're not, 10 weeks away from the Super Bowl.
Exactly. I get a feeling. I don't have that score feeling
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, Sean's Super Bowl spidey senses aren't tingling yet. So that's completely understandable. Sean, you want to talk some Celtics?
Yeah, well, take it away.
Do you want me to talk some Celtics?
Yeah, I'll nod my head.
All right, so Celtics just had a road trip as they made the way out west. Yikes. And, you know, they had five games. They're five games where they started in Indiana. Then they went to, I think it was, let me pull it up. Started in Indiana, went to, I believe, Denver. Here we go. Yep, started in Indiana, went to Denver, then went to Phoenix, then went to Utah, then went to the Trailblazers in Portland. And I was thinking, wow, that's really good. You know, they're going to have a tough game to start. I think they can beat the Nuggets, even though the Nuggets are really good. But then they have the Suns, Jazz, and Trailblazers. Wow, the Celtics are probably going to win at least four of these games. Sean, the Celtics won one of these games, and they were down, I think they were down like 1,006 points in the game that they won. So it was even a miracle that they won. Like, they really didn't deserve to win that game, other than Kyrie Irving just dragging his nuts all over the Suns in the fourth quarter in overtime. They went 1-4 in these five games. They're now 7-6, almost 500. And some of these games that they've just kind of clawed out, like, have not been good games. Let me just say that the Celtics are, like the Patriots, I don't want to jump to the conclusion, but there's something that's got to change here. I have a few theories. I'll get into those, but let me just go game by game quickly. Against the Pacers, they were out to an early lead against the Pacers. The bench came in and lost the lead. And then they should have won that game too. Kyrie Irving missed a layup at the end, and then Victor Oladipo came down and just shot a ballsy shot with a little bit of time left on the clock, a contested three, and made it. Shout out to Victor Oladipo. As I do in my post-game recaps, I give credit where it's due, and Victor Oladipo, good for him. 102-101 was the final there. The Nuggets then, they traveled to Denver. The Celtics were whooping the Nuggets. Sean, they were handling them. And then the bench came in. The plus minuses, if I remember correctly, all Celtics, the plus minuses for the Celtics were like minus 18 for Morris, minus 15 for Rozier, minus 10 for Smart. These are bench players I'm talking about. You know what? You want to know what the Denver plus minuses on their bench were? It was like plus 20, plus 15, plus 11. Jamal Murray scored 48 points as a starter. Fine. Good for him. But guess what? The bench lost that game. I said it in my recap. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I do these video recaps after the game. Sean loves them. He loves my hair in them. And so the Nuggets, the Celtics lost that game with their bench, but Jamal Murray won it for the Nuggets. But it was a close game again. They're clawing at these games. Then the Suns, they really shouldn't have won that game, but they won by seven. They were down by a million. The Jazz just, Joe Ingles took it to them. And then a game where they were just down by so much again and got back into it, the Trailblazers. This team is getting beaten and broken over and over again. They're not deciding to play until they're down by 20, which clearly isn't good. Sean, when you played sports, when you do anything, like, are you waiting till you're down by a million to start trying?
I don't feel comfortable unless I'm losing by at least 30 or 40 points, so there's absolutely no pressure, and then I walk away with like a 5-10 point loss.
Yeah, okay.
Works every time.
Look at the comeback this guy made. All right, yeah, but my point still holds. You know, it's just like that's not – we thought they would come into this, and when they beat down on Philly, game number one there, we were like, oh, yeah, let's go, Celtics. Yeah, guess what? This team doesn't look good. So let's talk about a couple of my articles. You know, just got to plug my own articles. No big deal. I'm a big deal. So one of my articles I want to talk about is just kind of the shot allocations that the Celtics go through. And this is as of maybe after the Denver loss. So a week ago. I think they played Denver like a week ago, maybe a little bit less.
A week ago.
Yeah, there we go. Sing it, Sean. So what I say in this article, you can check it out on guybostonsports.com. But pretty much what I'm saying is that the shots aren't being allocated right. They're not going to the right places. So right now, Jaylen Brown, and as of this article, Jaylen Brown is averaging 12 shots a game. That's too much for a guy that isn't an offensive player. Sad, I know. I don't want to shit on the young guy that we drafted, but guess what? It's not true. It's not how it should be. Kyrie Irving's only shooting three shots more than him. And when you look at Golden State, it goes Steph Curry with 20 shots, Kevin Durant with 18 shots, Klay Thompson with 17 shots, and then it drops to Draymond Green at 6. That tells you that their big three are the ones that are shooting their shots. And everyone kind of hit me up on Twitter saying, hey, you know, like, well, the Warriors score so many points and they're taking so many shots. Guess what? The Celtics, Sean, I might blow your mind. I don't know if you read my article. The Celtics shoot more shots than the Warriors every game. Did you know
the
that?
Problem is the shots are just not going in. That is my analysis.
So let me spin it into how I think it should be. I think Kyrie Irving should be shooting 18. Jason Tatum should be shooting 16 compared to 13. Gordon Hayward should jump up from 9 to about 12, and Jaylen Brown should go down to about 8 shots. He should take 4 less shots a game. I think that's very fair. And then let me parlay this into an article I wrote today. Thank you for all the clicks on that one, as it was our best article of the day. And it was titled, Celtics fans just don't want to admit who is ruining this offense. And there is a guy that's ruining this offense, and I will stand by it. Jaylen Brown is the problem here. He is. He's shooting the third most shots on the team. Oh, what's so bad about that? Well, guess what? He's making the third least. And as guys that actually play, he's making the second least. You know, Gershon Yabusele doesn't really play. So guess what? I don't really care about his field goal percentage. So it's Jaylen Brown than Marcus Smart. Same thing for three-pointers. Jaylen Brown than Marcus Smart. That's terrible. Jaylen Brown should not be shooting so much. Get to the rim. I'm fine with him shooting the open jumpers. I really am. If he's open, fine, shoot it. But when you get the ball on the dribble and it's a half-court set, get to the bleeping rim, Jaylen. He thinks he's this offensive guru. He told people before the season, hey, I'm going to prove these haters wrong. I'm going to prove the media wrong. I'm going to be a different player. I haven't seen shit from Jaylen Brown so far. I really haven't.
And I defended him a lot this offseason because people like to make the comparison with him and Brandon Ingram, and I always take Jaylen's side.
Yep.
And he has shown nothing to back me up or you, anyone that's ever got his back about this. He's playing like a guy that wants to get traded.
Right.
Because if he keeps playing like this and hindering the Celtics offense, it's going to lead to a lot of problems. I know he's a confident guy, but he's got to take better shots like you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I try to say in the middle of this article, like, I'm not trying to say Jaylen Brown's awful with no future. That's not even close to what I'm saying. But he's got to understand, if he's going to be a really good player, like, he's got to understand that the shots aren't falling for him right now. The shots he's taking are ridiculous. He must have worked out. We've had a couple guys in the staff, shout out to Kenny and Drew, who said that he must be working out with Marcus Smart, because there's only one worse offensive player on this team as in terms of guys that actually play, and it's Marcus Smart. Sean, what does everyone say about Marcus Smart's offensive game?
It's absent.
It's so bad. And guess what? I put in the article, at least Marcus Smart makes these what the hell just happened plays on defense. He has
literally a Russian
plays.
Roulette.
It's like he makes these plays, but Jaylen Brown does not make those plays on defense. There's no trade-off. There's no balance. And again, I hate to shit on Jaylen Brown, but he is the issue. It's not the guy that's coming off. They're not the former All-Star and even former MVP candidate a few years ago. Gordon Hayward's coming off of a season-ending injury. It's not him. He's not hurting the Celtics. He's not really helping them, but he's not hurting them. Al Horford, the guy still does everything. Yeah, he's shooting poorly, but he's not the big concern. And I say that, you know, it's fair if you want to say those guys are hurting them a little bit. I'll give you that. But the guy that's shooting all these shots, again, the third most on the team, and missing over 80% or missing about 80% of his shots. Imagine all 80% of the Celtics roster right now, right? Or 100%. Jaylen Brown shooting 20%. There's only 8 guys or 80% less that are shooting than him. He's shooting in the top 20% of shots. That doesn't make sense. He's not a shooter. He's not an offensive player. He can't go buy someone. He's got a one dribble exposed to the hoop. That's what he has to do. And I hate to say it, but it's the case. Jaylen Brown is not an offensive polished player, but he thinks he is, and that's the issue. We got a couple comments. I'll shout him out. Deborah said, I'm probably the only Celtics fan that agrees with you. Thank you, Deborah. And then we have Michael. I guess Deborah wasn't the only one. He says, I definitely agree with your assessment. And then Michael says this pretty well. He has a lot of work to do. He just thinks he's better than he is at this point. And that is true. That's the case. It's sad, but that's the case.
He's extremely cocky. And, you know, every shot he takes, you think he's trying to impress Taylor Rooks.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure everyone saw the interview the other day.
Yep.
5 rings by the time of 28. He's just trying to get into bed with her. He's got to take it easy and play within his game.
And, yeah, and I said this, and I kind of marketed the article. I marketed the article saying he's got to let the game come to him. Everyone's heard of that. Let the game come to you, young guy. Like, just do it. Don't project yourself into the offense. Let the game come to you. Shoot 8 shots a game. Let it come to you. Let the shots go to Tatum. Let him go to Hayward, who's looking better and better. And guess what? Let Kyrie take a little bit more, a few more shots. That's what has to happen. It's. I hate to say it, Jaylen, but you're just not as good as you think you are. Michael, in the comments section, said it perfectly. Jaylen Brown might be a legend someday. I'm not saying he's not gonna. I'm not trying to shit on him. But guess what? The facts and the numbers speak for themselves. So, Yeah, that's my little Celtics rant there, Sean. I don't know how much you like it.
You know, I like it a lot. And usually with a negative article like this, there's a lot of pushback on Facebook today. A lot of people were defending you, saying, you know, he's stating a lot of facts and you really can't get mad at facts.
Great point. That was a good point, because I was getting that on Twitter too, saying, you know, like, that's such an article someone would jump at and be like, why are you hating? Like, screw you, Ev. Well, a lot of people are saying, you know what, I guessed Gordon Hayward and I read the article, and you know what, you're kind of right. It's Jaylen Brown. And I'm not saying Gordon Hayward isn't a problem. I don't think he is, so I said that in the article, but I also said I would grant you that if you tried to say that. Sean, where do you stand? Because I'm totally open to disagreement here, because I think Kenny thinks that it's more of like a... So I'm more on the line of, I think if Jaylen Brown fixes his game, the Celtics play a lot better. And I think Kenny's more on the, well, no one's shooting well. And he wrote an article about Al Horford, and he says that the Celtics aren't shooting well altogether and stuff. I think I'm more on the lines of, you know, Jaylen Brown is just like this weak link, the wrench. I said he's a... This is where I got mean. I said he's a walking wrench in the offensive game plan. That's a little harsh. But where do you stand on like what's going on with this team?
Well, I don't think either of you are wrong. Both, obviously, the whole team's struggling a little bit, but Jaylen Brown is obviously causing some issues within the offense, and that's going to affect the whole team. Gordon Hayward hasn't reached his potential of what he's supposed to be with the Boston Celtics. He's still coming back from injury. And once he's comfortable with the offense, you know, he wasn't here last year. This is a team. It's not last year's team. We shouldn't expect a 20-2 start. This isn't the 2017 Boston Celtics. Gordon Hayward has to find his way in the offense. And Jaylen Brown's obviously making that difficult for everybody to adjust to this new style of play. Well, not the same style. Everyone's jacking up threes, but it's going to fall eventually. Yep. I'm not too worried.
No. So that's let's get to a question from S. Maddox. I think her name was Samira or Samir. How are the Celtics going to change this slow start? So you kind of just said it. Do you think that this is going to fix itself a little bit? Like, the shots are going to fall. That's probably our blanket statement, right? Don't get too hung up on it yet.
Yeah, don't get too worried. They all have to be accountable.
Right.
Yep. And just fix the problem within.
So, yeah, like I would say the blanket statement there is this will kind of fix itself. Brad Stevens is a good enough coach. So the one thing I will say is that I think that there's some guys – you said accountability, right? I think there's some guys that have to take accountability, and it's gonna be mostly Jaylen Brown. It's gonna be Jason Tatum. I'm sick of him. Last night was different, but he hasn't been confident. And you know what? I hate to say it, but if a guy's gonna jack shots, I'd rather them go. And I just hate to say it because I don't want anyone. I want smart shots, but not smart shots, intelligent shots. There we go.
They're talking about Marcus. Yeah, they want more Marcus smart shots.
Gotta watch what I say with the guy named Smart on the team. But I want, if a bad shot's going to be taken, which I guess it is with the way these Celtics shoot, I want that going to Jason Tatum, not Jaylen Brown. You know what I mean? But Jason Tatum's not exactly commanding those shots from Jaylen Brown. No one is. So as much as it's Jaylen Brown's fault in my mind, like a lot of Celtics fans, a lot of guys have to change some things. And so yes, Samira, that's what we think. I think that they... I guess it's, Sean, it doesn't sound too analytical, but I think we both just agree it's going to fix itself. Like, they're too talented to not fix it.
This thing's definitely going to be turning around. Like,
right.
I think Kyrie said it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Right.
Take it easy.
Yep. Let's get to another Celtics question here. This is from Gio Fio, and I believe it's at least his third time on the show sending in a question, right, Sean?
Absolutely.
So,
big part of the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Gio, thanks, man. And he says, and he actually, I believe he tweeted me last night saying the same thing, and I don't know if I got to respond. I'm sorry about that, Gio. He said, my question is, do you think Kyrie does sometimes a little too much down the stretch when there is like a minute left? And I thought about this when I saw it, because I was like, oh, what am I going to say to that? Because I've been preaching Kyrie, shoot, give Kyrie more shots. But then you do kind of watch it, and you're like, he's kind of got a point. So... Gee, I'll say this. So far, I don't think he does too much. Why is that? Because there's no one else that's going to do it. Kyrie Irving is the only one that's showing up. Maybe you can say Marcus Morris, but that's not a legitimate answer, you know? So I will say, if the Celtics are playing like this in January, they all stink. Or, you know, maybe they're playing a little bit better, but Kyrie takes some of these shots. And I know exactly the type of shots he's thinking about. He says... I think he said it in his tweet either to me. He was like, they were only down by one. He came down and jacked a three. I used to, last season, I got so irritated with those shots But this season so far, it's like so good in my mind. You know, so far so good. I can't complain about Kyrie because he's the only one that's scoring the rock. So I'm kind of giving you a hazy answer there, Gio. I think if that's what he's going to be doing for the rest of the year, I think it's definitely an issue, and I think he has to calm down and just take a smart shot sometimes because he gets to the hoop better than anyone. But if no one else is playing, I'm fine with Kyrie doing whatever. But I guess I could answer like, yeah, that three, and like a big three like that, then yeah, maybe to answer your question, he could go to the hoop. That would be considered doing less, I guess, in your mind. So yeah, a little bit of both there. I think he's got to cool down a little bit in the shots that he takes. So very wish.
My only comment to that one is nobody's going to be as good as Isaiah Thomas in the fourth quarter. So We need to move on from there.
Love it, Sean. Love it. You know, I love my guy, Isaiah. We're best friends now that he tweets me. So Sean, let's see. We have, was that our last Twitter question? I guess it was.
Yeah, I think that's all we got for today as far as questions.
All right. Do you want to talk some? We'll briefly go over a couple trades and moves. Sixers. I wrote an article a while back saying that only the Indiana Pacers, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Raptors pose a real threat to the Celtics. Guess what the Sixers just acquired? I guess you don't have to guess. Why don't you just tell me who they just acquired?
They got Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
From the Minnesota Timberwolves.
So let me ask you this, Sean. I'm going off the cuff here. We didn't even write this down. Do you think that makes them a bigger threat, or is it the same, or what do you think of that trade?
Honestly, I kind of think it just stays neutral. I don't think it's going to change that much.
I'm with you there, because I think people are like, oh, they robbed. No, you know, that was a pretty fair trade. It was. Covington and Saric are better than people think. Butler's this really, really talented malcontent player. Like, one thing about Covington and Saric, they didn't demand the ball. You now have Markel Fultz, Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Joel Embiid, and now Jimmy Butler wanting shots. Like, talk about a logjam when shots. That's the problem the Celtics are having right now. So I'm not saying that it makes them any worse, but I do, my article, I feel like, still stands. I think that they still are, and that's just my opinion. I know that they definitely are a threat, but I just don't think, I think Milwaukee's better. I think Indiana's better. I think Toronto's better. So I agree with you there. I think it kind of stays neutral. I think that those two guys, I think they got Bayless too, but whatever. Saric and Covington, I think, fit in really well with what the Timberwolves had. So when people are saying that they just, you know, they got Butler for peanuts on the dollar or whatever, peanuts, whatever the saying is, I don't necessarily agree with that. So let's talk Carmelo. I'll ask you this. Sean, do you want Carmelo on the Celtics?
Not in a million years. Every year you think, all right, he's going to a new team, it's going to be different. How many times can we say that?
Yeah, I know.
You thought Houston was going to be perfect, and now what do we know?
He's even on his way out. Even before that, we thought the Thunder were going to be perfect.
Yeah, every year. Knicks, Nuggets, I don't even care. He can't play on a team.
Not anymore. He used to be damn good. Like, you give me prime Melo, I don't care if he's a ball hog and a malcontent. He was nasty. Now it's like, yeah, dude, you're just jacking shots. You stink. I don't want him. So I also got a tidbit of information. I tweeted out. I heard, I won't give any more information on it, but I heard that John Wall may be a Laker. Did you hear that? Did you see my tweet, Sean?
Yeah, I did see your tweet, and that would definitely add some fuel
to that LA.
To the LA Boston.
Yep.
Because the Lakers are shit right now, and John Wall, he's obviously very talented, and that would be a huge
And he's
trade.
The guy that doesn't like the Celtics. I think that that'd be awesome, yeah. So, yeah, that shirt of the week is the Shamrock 5. Just use Talk. It'll save 20% on the shirt. Head over there. It's definitely one of our coolest Celtics designs we've ever rolled out. Sean, any last words for these beautiful listeners?
Don't give up on the Celtics and buy that damn shirt.
And my last word will be don't give up on the Patriots and buy some Patriots shirt on our site.
And don't give up on yourself.
Don't give up on yourself. Never give up on yourself. All right, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at The Boss Talk, TheBossTalk. Follow the Sean the Wizard Palmer on Twitter at Palmer Guy Boston. You can follow Guy Boston Sports on Twitter at Guy Boston Sports, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ev Guy Boston. This is another episode of The Boss Talk. We will catch up with you guys next week.